Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perikei. Krono hayesh o neko. Eliphaz continues. Perikei is a continuation of Perik Dalet. Eliphaz continues criticizing Eov. He says to Eov, Krono, call out now, hayesh o neko. Will anyone answer you? There are two basic ways to learn this pasuk. You'll see the mitzvos. Learns, he's continuing, it's a full continuation of the previous Pesukim in Perek Dalet, where Eliphaz anticipates Eov's question. If you indeed had a vision, a Malach came to you and told you a message to deliver to me, why didn't this Malach or this spirit speak directly to me? Why couldn't I hear this answer? So Eliphaz says to him, you know why? Because you are a fool, basically. You're a fool, or you're a foisa, you're a simpleton. You're not on a madrega, on a spiritual level, where you are worthy of receiving the prophecy firsthand. And that is why it was necessary for Hashem to send the message through an intermediary, namely me, Eliphaz. Interesting, this fits very well into the theme of this parak and the previous few psukim, where there is definitely a sense of superiority. Eliphaz gives Musar to Eov by saying to him, I'm much better than you. And we're going to see that very soon in a few psukim, where he actually says to Eov that if this happened to me, if I was the one that was suffering, had all these terrible yisurim, I wouldn't react like you. I would be mispalel, I would accept upon myself, I would react in an entirely different way. And in going back to Perek Dalet, he also says some very powerful words. He says, "Ka'asher reisi," as the way I see things, there's no such thing as a mazel. Everything is dependent upon Hashgacha Pratis. Eliphaz has this superiority complex. I'm much better than you. I'm smarter than you. I'm wiser. I'm more righteous. And part of that. That statement comes from Esav. It comes from Yitzchak. And part of that comes out here, at least according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos David, where he says to him, do you know why the Malach spoke to me and not to you? Because you are just not worthy. You're an evil and you're a fose. Two very derogatory terms. And that's why the prophecy would not come to you. Let's focus on that interpretation for the moment and see how the exact words of the Mitzudos David. Let's read it one more time. Pasuk Aleph, Krono, call out, Hayesh. Oy neko, if you were to call out to the Malach, to the Ruach HaKodesh, and ask that the spirit of prophecy speak directly to you, would it answer you? Would it pay attention to you? V'yelmi mikdoshim tifne, to which one of the holy ones, which one of the angels, to of the Malachim, of the heavenly sphere, would respond to your request to understand why you are suffering in this way? Let's see the Mitzvah's Pasuk Aleph. Krono, kehisino, when he concluded, when Eliphaz concluded his rebuke to Eov, l'saper divrei ha-malach, after he completes relating the words of the Malach, that don't think you're better than man, man is a nothing. Even the Malachim are nothing. K'neged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Allah has kama v'kama, a human being is a nothing, and how can a human being have the chutzpah to think that he can understand Hashem's ways? So when he finished relating this message from the Malach, Omar li'Eov, he said to Eov, ten toimar, you may say to me, I anticipate, you may say, Ezader cholach haruach l'daber bach. Where did that spirit go? Is that spirit still present? Did the spirit yet go on his spacecraft and go back to Shemayim? Is the Ruach HaKodesh still present? Umadu aloi diber bi. Why did the spirit not speak directly to me? Maybe what he's saying is, I don't believe you. You're a liar. You're making up stories. You don't have Ruach HaKodesh, because if you had Ruach HaKodesh, then the spirit would have. I also would have Ruach HaKodesh. You know better than me. We're just the same. We're friends. So the spirit should have spoken to me. Lo diber umadu aloi diber bi laze omar. That's why he said to him, Dalucha, you should know, it should be known to you, Ki niv ashta be'inei Hashem. You are disgusting, you are repulsive. You, Eov, due to your behavior, are repulsive in the eyes of Hashem. Al ki bo'atita bisu, because you have kicked, you have rejected the suffering. Ubechoin hadavar, if you don't believe me, test the matter. If you don't believe me, do the following test. The Korah ato el Hashamayim, call out to heaven, call out to the Malach, to the Ruach HaKodesh that should speak directly to you. Is there anyone in Shemayim that's willing to listen to you, to communicate with you? The Elmi mi Malachi Marom, which of the Malachi, the heavens, the angels in heaven, Tifne, will turn Lehamlitz Tov, to speak good ba'avurecha, to counsel, to speak good on your behalf. See if you'll find any angel that will be willing to communicate with you, but you're going to discover that no one is willing to speak good on your behalf, to be an advocate for you, or to speak to you. Why? Haloi nivashta, the answer is because you are disgusting. You are viewed as an ugly creature, be'enei kulam, in the eyes of all of the malachim, olazeh lo yidaber b'chameyata, they will no longer speak to you. Okay, this is the way the Mitzudos learned shot in the pasuk. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk alf krono ad kan dvar hanavua umikan ve'el choize litoychachtoi tsoak harbe mi ya'ancha. Rashi completely learns differently than the Mitzudos. This has nothing to do with the prophecy. It's a new statement. He now says to him, go and speak to tzaddikim. Go and talk to, go out into the world and find in the world a tzaddikim and present your complaint to them and tell them, how could it be? I'm 70 years old, everything was going well, and now suddenly I lost my wealth, I lost my children, and I am suffering. It must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in the daily activities of this world. There is no Ashkocha Pratis. If you say such a thing to any person living among the Kedoshim, the Tzaddikim, in this world, they won't even look at you. They'll immediately say about you, you are an Apikoyres. So it's not, according to Rashi, Eliphaz is not telling Eov that the Malachim are not speaking to you because you are ugly in their eyes. He's challenging Eov to go out into the world and go to tzaddikim, present your situation to them, and see if they'll even give you an appointment. And they won't. Why? Because who do you think you are? Kachi darka shaloylam. This is the way it is. There's tzaddik viralo. You think you're above tzaddik viralo, you're suffering, and you view yourself to be a tzaddik. Okay, so you're a tzaddik viralo. That's the way it is. Why is this concept for you, Eof, so difficult to grasp, to absorb, when this is the way of the world, and all kedoshim, all holy people are aware of this, and they accept it upon themselves, the matzikal of Eshadin. So one more time, Krono Adkan, until now, until Per Pasik Aleph, until the previous end of Perik Dalit was Divrei HaNevuah. Mikan Ve'elich, it's a new topic. Choyze Litoychachtoi, he returns to rebuke Eov. Tzak Harbe, Eov, go cry out, complain, Mi'ancha, there's no one's going to listen to you, no one's going to answer your complaints. Vilmi Mikadoshim, Hagoyzrim Zo Solecha, Tifne, Lihilochem Ito, who among the Kedoshim, he's learning over here to mean among the in Shemayim, the Elyonim, that are Goyz, that decreed this harsh decree against you, Tifne, Lihilochem Ito, will be willing to debate the matter, to quarrel with, to argue. This is the way it is. You have to accept upon yourself the situation. Here, Rav Schwab, he learns the pasuk a little bit differently. I'm not sure what his sources are, but he says Elim Mikdosh means, like the way I explained it to you, not exactly like Rashi, like a little bit different than Rashi, but similar to Rashi. The Kedoshim learns, go out to the tzaddikim in the world and complain and see what they'll tell you. They'll tell you, just be quiet, accept it. There's nothing you can possibly do about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is righteous, tzaddik Hashem b'chol derecha, v'chassid b'chol ma'asav, and you have to be matzikal of esadin, even though you do not understand it. So Kedoshim, according to the way Rav Schwab interprets it, refers to tzaddikim in the world, and there are many of them. Don't think you're better than them. Now why are you, now let's go back to the interpretation of the Mitzudos. Why do the Malachim, why do they not want to deal with you? Why do they ignore you? Because you're a fool and you're a pessy. Ki le'evil yaharog ko'as ufose tomis kina. Now, that means, an evil means a fool, and a posa means a simpleton. Like in the Haggadah, we have the tam, which Tam doesn't necessarily mean we translate it commonly as the simple son. That's not really necessarily what he is, but a person that does not have a profound, a deep understanding of the world. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you read these blog posts. I know you shouldn't be reading these things. And these people, they have an audience. I don't know how they get an audience. They have an audience of thousands of people, and they write. Sometimes they say good stuff, you know. Sometimes you actually agree with them, but sometimes they write things, and it's just so shallow. It's such a shallow understanding of the events, and you wonder, like, where are you? This is really that? It's so simple to you. There is so much more depth. That's what he's saying to Ufoise, someone that is simple, a simple understanding of the world, a shallow understanding of the world. Thomas Kinna, when he sees other people succeed and are successful, he's overcome with jealousy, and that jealousy eats him alive, destroys him. And going back to the beginning of the pasuk, the evil, the fool, when he gets angry, when something does not go his way, things are not ideal, he's filled with anger. Ko'as here is spelled with a sin, but it's interpreted as if it is spelled with a samach, kas. Person that's filled with kas and with kina, a kina hataiva vehakavoid maitsine sa'adam min ha'olam. And that's what it's saying over here in a certain degree. There's kas and there's kina, and a person, in order to overcome these things, the very great secret, you have to take yourself out of being an evil, a fool, and you have to take yourself of being as a simple, you have to understand that the world is a lot more complicated than you think, and then you're not so jealous of other people that are successful. Now, basically, what he's saying, according to the Mitzudas, is you, Eoy, that's what you are. You're a fool, and you're a fose, a simpleton. Rav Schwab, he has a more complex translation of the word fose. Fose, and he has a whole... He means that you try to preach to others foolishness. It's one thing to be a fool, but a person, you believe anything. You believe there are aliens, right? You go read the news and you believe whatever you read, all these conspiracies. Okay, so a person is foolish. But it's a higher madrega to promote the foolishness to other people, to try to convince other people foolish things. That's worse. That's how we translate the word ufose. It's an active form of the word foolishness. You preach foolishness to other people, and such a person, certainly Tamis, he will be killed. He will die. He'll eat himself alive with kinna. What's the kinna? The kinna here is everyone is healthy. Eov is physically ill. He's suffering. He lost his wealth. He lost his children, and everyone else. The world goes on. You look out the window. The world, olam kimin hagoy nog. People are healthy, people have children, people are successful, they have parnasa, and I'm the only one that's suffering. That makes a person filled with jealousy, and that jealousy itself can consume a person. Self-destruct. Let's see pasuk based in the mitzvot. Ki la'aviel l'shoite kimoyscha. Okay, powerful stuff. The selifas, what's the expression in English? Suffer doesn't suffer a fool. Does not
suffer fools gladly.
Don't suffer fools gladly. Okay, so that's what he's saying over here.
That suffer is tolerated. That's a different kind of suffering.
Right.
Eliphaz is very harsh with Eoyf. Extremely harsh. You see here, that's Amalek. It's an amazing thing here. You know, Eliphaz is a tzaddik. He goes on to say, I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzaddik viralo. But it's good to be a tzaddik for yourself, but to come on so strong and rebuke another human being who's suffering, it's wicked.
Those are his friends. Can you imagine his enemies?
Friends like this, who needs enemies? And it's interesting, this is the shurish of Amalek. You don't get that sense when you learn about, we're coming with Pasha Zohar, Amalek, Asher Korcha Baderech, they're non-believers, they're suicidal, they jumped in to go and they knew they would die, they jumped anyway, that the hatred of the Klai Yisrael was so great, they're willing to give up their lives in order to show the world that there's no Hashkocha. Where does that come from? Well, it started out with Eliphaz. Eliphaz is the son of Esav. And Eliphaz here is very religious. He tells Ziv, Tzadik V'ra'lo, he's going to go on to say, if it happened to me, I would be mispalel, I would look into my deeds, I'm much better than you. And so he's a very great tzaddik. Yeah, you're a very great tzaddik for yourself, but it's not right to go and judge other people in such a way. And this approach, this critical approach, this wicked approach, was the beginning of the slippery slope of the hashkafa of Eliphaz to go the next step of complete denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, and not only for your deny the existence for yourself, to tell the world and make sure other people who are believers in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change their attitude and to try to convince them and to try to harm them so that they should not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a fascinating insight into the roots of Amalek. Okay, let's see. Kila Evel, one more time, the words of the Kila Evel, Shaitik Kamaischa, a fool like you, Yaharoi Hakas. See, notice he spells Kasi with a Samach, not with a sin. Asher Yichais, Bevoi, a person gets angry, Bevoi Hara, Kibavurze lo Yimsa, Molamit Schus, Meshav David. It's going back to the previous post, that because a person that's full of Kas, no one wants to deal with an angry person. Person that's full of rage is not going to have any sympathizers. No one's going to come to his aid. So you're wondering, why didn't the Malach speak to me? How come the Malach spoke to Eliphaz? Doesn't want to come tell me, speak to me and tell me what's going on? Because you're mole kas. And a creature that's mole kas is repugnant. The Malach won't do all distance. Ufayse, hanifte biliboy achatavas hatzlochis hamedumais. A person that is swayed in his heart after this desire to be successful, his imaginary successes. Thomas Hakina, a person that's always looking to succeed, and he judges his life in terms of success. Such a person, Thomas Hakina, Asher Yiskane Behatzlochis Harishahim, will die through the jealousy when he sees other wicked people succeed. Umar Be'el Hisroim Al Hashem, he will increase to complain against Hashem. Kima Abed Alama Be'in Melitz Yosher, and again, such a person will destroy his world and no one will come to his rescue. So he's giving him very, very harsh criticism. Let's take a look at Rashi Pasik Beis, Ki Le'evil, Le'evil Kimaischa. A fool like you, Yoiv, Yahare Kaso, She'ilu Ha'yisa Shoisek, Shema Tosh of Midas Sarach Molecha. Unbelievable. If you would have been quiet, you would have accepted upon yourself the din, maybe the Malachim would have come to your rescue. Maybe in Shemayim there would be a Melitz Yosher. Mul Magid Peshara, maybe a Melitz in the Nusach of the Yom Ram, a Melitz, an advocate would come forward in Shemayim and be Mevakesh Rachem on your behalf. But when the possible advocates take a look at you and they see how you react to your tzara, they're turned off and therefore you're stuck. You just bury yourself further in your situation. Kina, hikas, dechema, kamohem, kinuni, a repetition of the word. Kina is the same thing. Rashi, very interesting Rashi. Rashi says that jealousy is a form of anger. Okay, is that really true? Is that the way we understand anger? There's anger and there's jealousy. Rashi is saying, hikas, dechema. Jealousy is synonymous with anger and fury.
Person has more than you.
Right, so you have to talk to a psychologist, really analyze different feelings of emotion, yeah?
It depends how you define anger. If it's okay. More like resentment.
All right, so you're going deeper. We're going into very...
Softer.
Each one is probably a course in college to itself.
So and get a, certainly, envy is certainly resentment.
Two different terms. There's kas, kina, and then he has another term, chema. Different him kinu pasuk him they angered me they HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the Klal Yisrael worshipped idols Hashem describes it they kinuuni below el they made me jealous. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not is HaKadosh Baruch Hu jealous? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have emotions. It's a form a display of anger. Hashem displays anger when Klal Yisrael does not do His will. Pasuk Gimel. Now here he goes. Aniris. Now again here is the super. Righteous, his self-righteousness. Very, very surprising how Eliphaz talks to Eve. Aniri yisi evel mashrish. Now, before we begin, there are many interpretations, so we got to go slow and try to do one interpretation at a time. Eve now says, I'm not surprised. I'm basically, according to them, I'm not surprised that you're suffering. This happens all the time. There are people, there are evil, there are foolish people that are mashrish, wicked people that are mashrish, that take root. Wicked people take root. Now, in this, the context of this pasuk, it means they are extremely successful. Their success takes root in the earth, and they prosper. However, I recognize that it's short-lived. V'ekoiv naveyu pisom. Pisom means suddenly. I mean, immediately, as soon as I see a wicked person succeed, I don't get upset, I don't get jealous, I'm not like you. Basically, he was saying, according to one interpretation, is Eov, I'm not like you. You have no backbone. You melt away the first moment you see someone succeed and you're not doing well. You right away complain. I'm not like you. When I see a wicked man succeed, I don't get jealous. My first reaction is pisum. Read it backwards. Pisum v'ekoiv naveyu. I curse his dwelling. His naveyu means his abode, his bias, his success. So the word naveyu here literally means his abode, but it's being borrowed in terms of his beautiful existence. Ve'kov literally means I curse, but it's not interpreted here to mean literally that he cursed, but it means I know that ultimately his success will lead to nothingness. So he's not actually giving forth a curse. I acknowledge that his success will ultimately turn into a curse. Now, that's a little bit difficult. It's not too literal, but let's take a look at the Mitzudos. Pasuk Gimel. Ani ve'isi aval. Ani. I'm much better than you, Eif. I'm not like you. Kasher ve'isi es ha'evil. Mishalech sherashav lehispashet baritz. When I witness a wicked person spread his roots, when his roots penetrate the earth to succeed, lehispashet baritz b'chayzik rav, with great success and great strength. Hinei, I'm not like you, Eov. Loi konesi behatzlochoso. I'm not jealous of him. I'm like you. Avol pisoim, but immediately, terem yovo b'machshavoysai hiru kina, before it comes to my mind a thought of jealousy, hayisi shayfet b'rayoynai, I judge in my thoughts, my mind, I'm a wise, brilliant person, I make the following evaluation, ligzo oimer, to issue the following verdict, shesoif hadov asher yiyeh naveyu mikulol. I make the following judgment that the end will be his naveyu, his abode will be cursed.
Did he say that? Yeah,
that's
like
what's worse.
He saying?
He's saying that the way Eov is behaving indicates... The way Eov is behaving indicates that Eov is full of kina. He's basically said the Pharisee.
He's
you
saying that now.
When he had all the Rechush and all his kids, he didn't. He was full of kina.
No. Then he was happy. Now he's full of kina. Now that he is suffering,
when all, everything that he had disappeared and all his
right.
kids were killed.
Yes.
Now he became jealous of
everyone else
who's not suffering.
Exactly.
Which is the normal.
No, he's saying it's not right. He said that's the most that he's
saying. You say, I accept it, I'm not jealous?
He's telling Eve that he should accept it.
But he's saying worse. But accept it and then curse them?
No.
Not
he's,
only are you jealous,
I'm
cursing you for being.
No, he's not cursing. No. Let's say that. At this moment in time, in Pasuk days, the way we're interpreting the Pasuk, Eliphaz is saying to Eve, Eve, you're sitting here and you're complaining. You're complaining. I don't deserve this. And it must be that there's no hashkacha, there's no din v'les dayim.
Right.
So Eliphaz is like a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Maybe he was able to give prescriptions, whatever he was. He was a shrink. And he's saying to him, the fact that you're complaining is an indication that you're frustrated and you are extremely jealous. You're molekas, and you're extremely jealous of everyone else in this world. Because everyone else in this world has a good life compared to you now. Oh, the past, the 70 years, bygone, that's ancient history. And we're not looking back at the bracha Hashem gave you in the past. We're looking at the moment. Right now, I'm sitting here in a hospital, who knows, in a hospice. Okay, sitting in a hospice, and they're dehydrating me. And they're torturing me to death. And I have no children by my side. And I have no assets.
Right,
and the government is coming. The death panels are on the way.
Right.
I'm suffering, and I'm mole kas
v'kina. And that's the wrong thing.
So Eliphaz says, if I were in your shoes,
I would accept. Smile.
I would smile away.
Yeah, right.
I would write a letter and say hospice is wonderful. I would smile away, and there's nothing wrong. Everything is fine and good.
Yeah, he says you don't have it so bad.
That's exactly what he's saying.
Just smile.
And I look, and then he would say, if I were in your shoes, I would look out the window and I would see this Joe Schmo, this good for nothing. I would read in the newspaper that he's a multimillionaire, and what is he? I know he's a nothing of a nothing. I wouldn't get upset. I wouldn't say like you, how could it be that he is a multimillionaire, I'm sitting here suffering? I wouldn't do that. I would say, yeah, good, let him have his day in the sun. Let him have the limelight. I know that in a very short time, his success will be obliterated. Nothing will come of it.
That's not normally you would consider an upgrade in thinking. That's a downgrade in thinking.
He's giving you mussar.
He's saying that not only, okay, don't be jealous of him, but just curse the other person.
Not curse him. literally, the word v'ekov means I would curse him. The Mitsudo says that's not what it means. V'ekov, the language in Eov is extremely complex and difficult. According to the Mitsudos, he's saying, I'm not cursing anyone. I'm a very good person. I'm a tzaddik. I recognize that his success is cursed. I am not issuing a curse. That's how the Mitsudos learns. I am making a verdict. V'ekov, V'ekov means I have come to the conclusion, I was goyzer in my mind, it's not necessary for me to get angry, for me to get jealous, because it's not really success. What I'm witnessing is just a charade. This person is sitting on the top of the world, it's nothing. Nothing will come of it. It's not going to last. It will be for his detriment, his success. Vo'ekov, we're going to translate the word according to the Mitzvot. I recognize that it is vo'ekov naveyu, his abode, we're going to substitute for the word his success, is cursed. And nothing will come of it. And I do this pisom. I don't have to go through 50 years to reach this conclusion. I reach this conclusion the moment I see it, the first moment I see it. These are very profound words. Obviously, it's not something that you want to hear. And it's not something that Eov certainly appreciated, someone giving him this type of self-righteousness, that I am better than you. But that is how he learns the words. Now let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi, there is no Rashi. Pasik Dal. Now he goes on to describe in much more detail, according to the list of the Mitzudos, what the end is. This person now is on top of the world, but you know what? His children will have nothing. His children will be beggars. Yirchaku vonav miyesh. Yeah, now he's a multi-billionaire. He has all of this honor and success. Yeah, go look one. I know what's going to happen. I've studied history. I know Hashem's ways. In a generation from now, yirchaku vonav miyesha. His children will be distant. They'll be rochok, far, far away from salvation. No one's going to save his children. Children will be beggars. No one's going to come even help them out. V'yidagu v'shar, and they will be pulverized. That's a very powerful word. They'll be obliterated, turned into dust, turned into powder. V'ashar, in the gate, meaning in public. It won't just be a private humiliation, a private form of poverty. Bashar means in the public. The whole world will see these children, their descendants. They're nothing of nothings, and no one's going to come to their rescue. How could it be? But their father, their grandfather was on top of the world, was world famous person. The Ein Matzila, no one will come to their rescue. That's pretty scary stuff. Pasuk, let's see, the Mitzvah's Pasuk Dalit, Yirchaku ki bonav yihyu meruchakim mitashuas adam, from salvation, ki be'avoy naviyem, due to the fact that the father was a wicked person, the success was not a real success, it was only due to theft, to extortion, to forms of wickedness, lo yimsu merachmim, no one's going to have compassion upon this person's children, v'yidaku v'shar, b'mokoyim pirsum, the shar means in the city gate, b'shar ho'ir Yihiyu midukoim bibnei adam ve'ein miyatzil. No one's going to come to their rescue. Rashi, yirchaku banav zohi klola shekilalt. If this is the klola that I curse. So according to Rashi, Rashi seems to be learning not like the mitzudot. It's not necessarily so different. But according to Rashi, he seems to take the word v'ekav based upon his interpretation of pasuk dalid. He seems to be saying in the pasuk gimel when it says v'ekav, it literally means that I curse them. I actually issue a curse because they're wicked. They don't deserve this. And what's my curse? Pasuk dalid, that their children should suffer. He klola shekikal shekil laltiv v'idaku v'dogesh. The word v'idaku has a dogesh in the dalid. The imhu nakud rafui mashma yidku acherim. What? The imhu nakud rafui. If it was nakud with rafui, meaning there was no dot. If the word the dal in our text, there is a dot in the. You have that. I have a different print than you. You have a dot in the dalit.
Yeah.
So if they're just telling us some dicta, we're not really familiar with dal. We don't make a difference between a dalit with a dot and a dalit without a dot. But the dicta can tell us that really it's without a dot. It's echad. It's the. It's like a th, and with the dot, it's the, like a d, and that's why Chazal say. You're supposed to be marich on the dalet of echad. How in the world can you be marich? The ches you can be marich. Echad, right? That you can do. You can blow a shofar. But the dalet, echad. What are you going to do? How are you going to be marich on the dalet? So the answer is we don't pronounce the dalet correctly. The real way it's echad. It's a th because there is no dot in the dalet. We read the dalet as if there's a dot, echod. So you can't be marech. You can't think of the dalet kanfei saretz. So here Rashi is telling us that there are two words. There's the word v'yid ku, and there is v'yidaku. If it has no dot, the translation is others. V'yid ku. They will cause others to be pulverized. But when there is a dot, it means they themselves will be pulverized. That's what Rashi means. Dikduk Rashi. B'dag Yeshu, Yidukhu, they themselves will be pulverized. V'im ha'yu nokud rafei. If it was missing the dot, then mishamesh, then it would be interpreted to mean Yidku'u acherim, they will cause others to be pulverized. Okay, back to Pasuk
Hei. So what is the difference in the chod with a dot or without a dot?
There is no difference in translation. There it doesn't make a difference. There you don't. There it's a different. The form of the word is different. It's at the end. It doesn't make a difference. One is one. Okay, there's no one for someone else, one for you. It's all the same. It's just over here in this form where the dollar appears in the beginning of the pasuk, the beginning of the word. Then there are two different forms of the word. Okay, but we don't.
Well, I don't understand the pasuk. What he's saying is, if his kids were still alive.
What do you mean if?
It would make sense that because you're. So stupid, and you have the kinah, then your kids are deserving.
No, he's not talking about Eov. He's making a general statement about other people. Eliphaz of right? No. Eliphaz is saying, I'm not like you, Eov. You, Eov, you're a simpleton. Right. You're a jealous person. I'm a tzaddik. Be like me.
Right.
When I see in this world,
well, what does it mean? Yitchaku
I'm talking. Not talking about Eov's children. I'm talking about general in society. I open up the paper. I read about a person who's a multi-millionaire. I know him. I sat with him in yeshiva. He was my chavrusa. Right. He's a good for nothing. He's a ganef. He's a covet maniac.
Right.
Alamilus.
So I'm not jealous.
Alamilus. So Eliphaz, look at this. Me and you, Eov. Eov, now that I know your midos, after I see how you're behaving, if you would read the paper and you would see this, you would die in jealousy.
Right.
Because how do I know you would die in jealousy? Because look how you're behaving. You're a crybaby. You're suffering. And you're saying it's not fair. It's not fair. Hashem is not just. It's tzaddik v'ralo. So if I would open the paper, I would show you. I can predict how you would act. But I'm much better than you. I'm a tzaddik. When I open the paper and I read about this evil, that's mashrish, you know what I say? According to Rashi, I curse him. I curse him, and my curse is that although he may be successful, nothing should come from his success and may his children suffer. That's pretty strange. I mean, okay, but that's why. What? No, Eve wasn't. Eve believes that he was not a fool. Eve was during those 70 years. Eve was a tzaddik. We're dealing over here with a person that is clearly a wicked person. Everyone knows he's corrupt. He's as corrupt as a politician can be. He's a corrupt person. And now, according to the Mitzudos, obviously, not necessarily Rashi disagrees with the Mitzudos, that Rashi is different, but the Mitzudos just finesses it in a much more delicate, much more refined way. I see this wicked person, I'm not impressed. I know that this is not going to last long. I know that in a generation from now, the person will be sitting in jail, and his children will have nothing from it, and it'll be a Nebuch case, and it'll be a Rachmanis. Instead of being impressed, I have Rachmanis on the wicked. I remember once such a story where someone once complained to a certain Rebbetzin. I'm not going to say who it is. About a certain. So she said, you should feel bad for the person. Don't take it to heart. Adirabi, you should feel bad. The person is so insecure and is so bitter. And this is what he has to do. Has to assert himself. He has to react. Don't, Adirabi, channel your emotions to have rachmanis on the person. Okay, not everyone can do that. It's very hard. When you're the victim, obviously Eve here is the victim, it's very, very hard. Easier said than done. There's a story, I read a story very recently. It was a very, very impressive story. A person had tefillin. It was Yerush tefillin from his grandfather. Very expensive tefillin. His grandfather was a very, very great tzaddik. Very great tzaddik. And he had these tefillin. It was his prized possession. And one day the tefillin was stolen. And he just lost his mind. The tefillin, my Zaydin, my great-grandfather, what is he going to do now? So he wrote a letter to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay, this goes back obviously many years. He wrote a letter to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he actually wrote back, and he vented to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, how could it possibly be that my tefillin, my great grandfather, they were stolen? So Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote back to him that you should be moichel him, because if you're not moichel him, that when he puts on the tefillin, he's not going to be yoytze, because it's gozel. It's gozel, it's stolen. So be making a bracha levatala, so you should be moichel him, so when he puts on the tefillin, assuming that he's putting on the tefillin, it shouldn't be a bracha levatala. And this person, the article goes on to explain that he was shocked. How could the Lubavitcher write such a thing? I'm so bitter. And he's telling me to be moichelim, so it should be a bracha levatala. And the person goes on to describe how that was the beginning of the process of how he came to terms with what happened. And it was a lesson for him. Not that the person stole the tefillin, he really cares about a bracha levatala, but he was trying to say this idea that you have to feel bad for the person. This is he's a sick person, and channel your anger to rachamim. That is what Eliphaz is saying, but Eliphaz is not very nice, obviously. This may be something that you can say about yourself, but it's very difficult to say to a person in front of you who is suffering in terrible yisurim. And he's saying, yeah.
It's interesting, I think it was yesterday, I'm trying to remember where, that people have old villains.
Yeah.
And they want to put it on all every day.
Yeah.
And you tell them you really shouldn't do that. One Gadol once said, if you have your great grandfather's pants, you put it on.
Well, make it be puzzle. It doesn't.
Not as a good apostle, you know?
Yeah. So why? So what's wrong with anyone with Tillin?
Because today they have new things and better, and they're watched. You know.
Also, you're saying because it's not kosher. Because
it's not kosher.
It's worn out.
Today,
different standards.
Right. Yeah.
Today we have different. Well, that's well known. The Tillin today, at least the physical Tillin today, are far, far superior than they were 100 years ago. That's pashut. We have the technology.
I had my tefillin examined. The guy says, you want to know about them? I said, what's wrong with my body? He says, well, you need a
the chut. That's a very big chumrah. He told you that? That's a very big chumrah.
I said, what's wrong with it? He says, well, it's crooked. I said, what's crooked? And he says, well, it's warped. And I said, you know what? Ask a shayla to get me the bottom. And then at the end, he brings me brand new bottom.
For how much?
Whatever it was. And he says to me, by the way, I asked a shayla, your old bottom were good.
Of course they're good. Who's going to tell you they're no good? They're, of course they're.
They made them differently.
Okay, they made them differently. I know that. But the right one, but everyone also agrees that the tzidkus, the righteousness that goes into the people who write this, the right the tefillin, that unfortunately, not muchach. We know for a fact that there was sifrei that were written on Shabbos. Unfortunately, there was extreme poverty in Europe, and there was sifrei that wrote sifrei Torah on Shabbos. Yes, that's a fact. And they even can detect if you bring in an old sifrei Torah to the sifrei today, they can scan it. And the computer can right away tell you who wrote the Sefer Torah. They have it on record because the computer can recognize, the technology is so advanced, they can recognize the handwriting, and they can tell you who wrote, and they can tell you if it was a chashash that this Sefer Torah was written by a sofer. Yeah, this is...
In other words, if the Sefer Torah was written 80, 100 years ago...
If they know for a fact, if you write to, let's say you write today a mezuzah, a megillah...
No, the computer will tell me who wrote that Sefer Torah?
If you have a sample. If you today write something in your handwriting, and the computer scans it, and the computer, there's a very complex algorithms, it recognizes your style of writing. It recognizes how you write the letter Aleph, the letter B, whether it's English or Hebrew, and then in the future, in 10 years from now, if you will submit another sample, the computer will scan it, will right away say, we recognize that the style of writing was written by you. There is such a thing.
Because you have to write in a very consistent way.
They have records that you actually wrote it.
Unless you change your style so much you want to fool the computer. Okay, that's another thing.
It's much higher because of the type of writing it is.
Exactly, of course. Every person has a different style, style in everything that he does. Even they have, this is already old, they have technology that there are no two people, this is an amazing thing, no two people walk alike. They have technology, when you walk, You walk in a straight line. You walk 10 feet in a straight line. The computer watches you. The computer analyzes how you walk. And it records various metrics of the way you walk. They could then scan. They can then go put this monitor, going into the stadium, the Super Bowl, and they can see, based on the way you walk, they can identify who you are. There is technology like this available today, and the chiddush is now you appreciate in Shulchan Aruch avoda. There are four avodos. There is shechita, kabbalah, haylacha, and zrika. So, what is the significance of haylacha? Walking, right? You have to kill the animal. You're doing a maisa. You take the life of the animal. Kabbalah, you kabbal the dam and the kli. Zrika, you apply the blood to the mizbeach. But what's the ma'ala of halacha? To transfer the blood from the location of shechit to the location of zrika and the whole shayla. Let's say you do the shechit by the mizbeach, so you don't have to do a halacha. You can just right away do the kabbalah and do the zrika. But they've shown today there are no two people in the world that walk alike. A computer can detect different form of walking. Every single person. It's an amazing thing. It shows that every person's derech, every person's mahalich in life. V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ha'oim de mo'ela. A person is called a hoilech. A malach is called an omed. A malach is a creature which does not have mobility. A malach is created to perform a mission, and that's the malach station. He has no opportunity to go further. A human being is called a hoilech. V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ha'oim de mo'ela. Every person's avoda is different. There are no two people that have the same mission in this world. Every person's derech of minkoylech is unique. Okay, but let's go back to over here. Pasuk Dalid, Yirchaku Bana Miesha Vidaku Bashar Evein Matzil. Eliphaz is coming to make the following observation. I will learn like the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says that when I witness someone that is successful and I have first-hand knowledge that this person is undeserving, I don't get carried away, I don't get jealous, so good, let him be on the front page of the newspaper, let him have his covet. I know it will not endure, there's nothing to be jealous of, it'll come a generation later, it'll be all of his success will just turn into his bizyonos because his children will have nothing from it, and they'll be humiliated in public, and no one's going to come to their rescue. Now, then he goes further, he describes, forget about the children, talk about the person himself, and what will come of his success. So he has very harsh Greek words. Pasuk Hey, Asher Kitziro Ro'ev Yochelu. His harvest will be consumed by the hungry. People will one day go to his fields and chap everything that he has worked for. Just like a field produces grain, if there's no fence, there's no security, people who are poor will come and just rip it out of the ground. The El Mitzinim Yikocheu, they will take it along with the thorns. Okay, this is a very hard word. This is one of the words, you know, Eov is known for its extreme difficulty, and this is a very difficult word, different interpretation. Mitzinim, we're going to translate as thorns.
What?
Thorns, thorns. The grain, the harvest, will be taken together with the thorns. We'll see what that means in a moment. Vishoaf, another hard word, to swallow. It will be swallowed. Tsamim, thirsty. People who are thirsty, chelam, their wealth. In other words, all of their success, their billion-dollar successes, will be completely swallowed up by strangers. People, in other words, people that they have exploited. Many people who are successful, it's only because they exploit, they take advantage of the poor. Those same poor people will one day come back, to take revenge and consume their success. Imagine all the Chinese, that's what they're doing now. The Chinese has amazing assets in America. Well, the United States has exploited the Chinese, all of the products in America, cheap labor. Cheap labor has come from all these third world nations, and now these third world nations basically own the country. Okay, there's an enormous debt. What?
Piece of the rock.
It's mamish. It's a scary thing. That's what it says. They were taken advantage of. Cheap labor, and now they own the country. That's what it says. They'll come for the harvest. Those who are hungry will harvest. We'll take the harvest. Yes, and now what is it with the thorns? Now we have to think, so what is it with the thorns? So let me explain to Alice before we read it inside. The thorns is one of two things. When you harvest grain, you don't want the thorns. You don't want the thorns because the thorns ruin the product. But yeah, no. Let me read inside. I'm confused. Let me read inside. Let's see. Pasuk Hey. Asher kitziro nochon biyado, asher kitzir, so it's certain. Nochon biyado, it's certain in his hands. I know for a fact that this wealthy person who has exploited others, it's certain. Asher kitzir sodeyu, the harvest of his field. Yoichal kol mi asher yira v'yisadelo, it's open for the public. His wealth will be completely taken away. Hefker, v'el mitzinim yikochin. Now what does that mean? Yikhu es hakotzir mi bein hakotzim. So here in the first interpretation, he takes the mem. The Mitzvah takes the mem very seriously. Mitzinim, from the thorns. The poor will not take the thorns. In other words, they'll have plenty of time to carefully pluck the grain to take only the best. When a ganav comes to the field to steal, he's in a rush. Because if he doesn't get out of there very quickly, the police are going to come and they'll lock him up. So you don't have much time. You just got to chop everything. You chop the good and the bad. And when you come home, you know, you take the whole safe. You don't have time to break the safe open. How many stories are there where people go and they can't break the safe? So they take the safe. There are many stories like this. They take the whole safe. And then when they take the safe to their shop, they can spend weeks trying to break the safe open. But here, the Ani, here, the Ganov, I don't have to worry. The police are not coming. I have all the time in the world to crack the safe open. I have all the time in the world to go to the field and only select the best of the best and ignore and leave over the thorns. So from among the thorns, I take the crop. I leave the thorns over, which basically means that the usher, the wealthy man, the owner, is helpless. No one can save him. No, he has no, his success completely taken away from him. One more time, words inside. They will remove the harvest among the thorns. And they will not be quick to take it the way it is. Im akoytzim ki goynev dovar asher like a ganav, asher yispachid min haroyim. A ganav is terrified. He's afraid. Someone's going to chop him. So leave. I have no time. I got to chop everything with the thorns and the good stuff. Kiim, however, in this situation it's going to be different. Kiim, however, yivarer ha'oichel, the ganav or the people, the poor, will come and select just the good. Lakachas le'ein kol in public eye, the lo yimsa mi yimche biyada, no one's going to protest. Oh, okay, that's one interpretation. Then he says just the opposite. It's the same idea, the other way around. Oh, lehepuch, sheyiku hakotzir im hakotzirim. He'll take everything. He'll take the kotzir, the harvest, with the thorns. The lo yashiru klum.
Im hakotzirim.
Harvested.
He will take the workforce.
Is that what it means? Because the word matzinim means the thorns.
No, but that's what it's saying here. It says kotzrim, but maybe it's a mistake.
Hakotzim, maybe it should be hakotzim. No, I don't know. How are you saying hakotzrim with the harvesters? Okay, I don't know. You're right. I don't know. Got to look in a different edition. Eshayiku hakotzir im hakotzrim with the harvesters.
Kotzim.
Yeah. But in my edition also, I have a different edition than you. I also have Kotzrim. So I don't know. Otherwise, we have to figure out what it means then. Velo Yashu Kulum. And it will not leave anything. Velo Kiderech HaMispachet Shechotef HaYofeh. A ganav, in this interpretation, he's saying that a ganav comes, he doesn't have time to take, thorns also have value. Thorns are used for firewood. Everything has value. But when a ganav comes to rob a jewelry store, you go for the good stuff. You don't go for the petty cash. You don't go for the psoilus, the custom jewelry. You go for the good stuff. But here, plenty of time. We have no one's holding us back. No one's going to stop us. We'll go, we'll take not just the good stuff, the harvest, we'll take also the thorns. Okay, v'shaf tzamim, next words of the pasuk, and it will be swallowed. The word shaf is lashon of belia. Tzamim means thirsty. People who are thirsty, ki'im in kol echad, min hatzimeim asher ha'evil hazeh hitzmir. So here is a little interpretation that it's mida keneged mida. This wicked person exploited others. The people that he has exploited are now coming to take revenge. They're coming to take back what is theirs. The people who are thirsty, who the wicked person denied asher hitzmir, who made thirsty, b'kachas mimenu asho b'sof, when the day is over, tigbar yodo, v'chol echad yachzar v'yivla es oysher atzma.
Maybe that's the reason why you lost all your kush?
No, he's not focusing on Eof. He's just telling if you're a jealous maniac.
So he's talking general Musa.
General Musa, exactly.
So why is he saying this to Eof?
He's giving an example. He's giving an example of what it means to be jealous.
He was not jealous.
He was. That's what he's saying. Eof now, the fact, that's his analysis.
He's saying you're not jealous because you want the money and you have the money. And you want more.
The fact that he's complaining.
Nothing.
So that's jealousy. So you have nothing. So you have nothing. The fact that you're complaining is an indication that you're jealous of everyone else in this world.
What's your punishment going to be?
He's not focusing on punishment here. He's focusing on Eov is complaining. His complaint indicates that he is a jealous person.
A jealous person deserves. They should take away all this stuff.
No. A jealous person is consumed.
Lost it all.
There's no reason in this world to be jealous of anyone. Because everything that Hashem does is just and right. And
so
people that are
has a lot of money and it doesn't give everybody rights, they'll take the kaitzim and they'll steal the safe from his house.
Let's take a step back. A person that is successful because rightfully so, a tzaddik that is successful, Eve is not jealous of. He's not jealous of that person. And that there's such a person, no one's cursing, and no one, even if the person is stingy, a person who is honest and earns a good living and is successful, no one's jealous of. That's fine. We're focusing here on a person who is a Rasha, whose success...
So Eliphaz is saying to...
Eov is complaining...
You're a Rasha.
No.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
What are you giving Mishalim about Rishayim? What are you putting me in the
story? Because Eiv is saying there's no Mishpat in this world. Everything in this world is totally is potluck. There are Rishayim that are successful. That's what is implied in the previous two Perakim. That Eiv is saying, here we are, I lost everything. It must be there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no Hashgacha Pratis. The Rishayim succeeds, and the tzaddikim suffer. It's potluck. Everything is mazel. Everything is luck. So he's now focusing on that prat. That Eiv, you are saying that there's no hashkocha and Rishoyim are successful, and you're jealous of them because you're not from those people that are successful. It's not true. There is hashkocha pratis, and Rishoyim that are successful, it's nothing. It's just they blow in the wind. They're just weeds. And the day will come when they'll lose everything. There's nothing to be jealous of. It's part of Eliphaz's analysis of the world. Don't say that Rishoyim are successful. Rishoyim are not successful. And the proof is it does not endure. Their success does not last.
Okay, so what he's being Menachem, and he's saying, don't be jealous of other people, because at the end of, they're also going to be in the same tzara that you are. They're going to lose.
No, they're Rishon. Eiv is a tzaddik. Because they're Rishon. Because they're Rishon. That's when he starts. Ani Reisi Pasagimel Evil. We're dealing here with a very specific
who's
type of person. A Rasha.
Who's a Rasha? Yarei Kaz Vaseich Tavis Kina. Someone who has anger and kina.
So he's not. I don't think in the simple understanding of the psukim. He's saying that he's making a good point that it's a coincidence the word evil appears back to back. But on a very simple understanding of the psukim, the word evil here has nothing to do with the evil in pasuk beis. In pasuk beis, he's telling Eiv, you're an evil and you're a paisa. You're these two things. Period.
You have kinah and
pas. Correct. And then he says, "I'm a be like me, be like Eliphaz." Be the big tzaddik.
Right, but I see a rich and turns and they'll end up.
Exactly.
Okay, so this
it's a different Evil. It's a different Evil.
This is my question. He comes to another.
Yeah.
And he says to him, you know, you just lost your job, you lost your money.
He comes to who? He comes to Eiv, who's an
Evil. Right.
He's telling him, you're acting like an Evil.
He says, you know what? The richest person you see, he's also going to lose his job, he's going to lose his money, he's going to lose his kid.
No. No, he's not saying. He's telling to Eiv, Eiv, you're a tzaddik, but you're behaving like an ovil.
Right.
But you're not an ovil. You're behaving.
Don't
behave like an ovil.
Right. So there's nothing to be jealous of these guys.
Right.
Because these guys are going to end up in the same sorry you're at.
Right. But they're going to end up, they're going to deserve what they get.
Right.
You don't deserve it.
Right. So you come into an ovil and you say to him, we discussed this, that Eliphaz teaches us how not to be Menachem Avot. Because he comes into the Avot,
He's
gone through every tragedy in the world, he says, you're a tzaddik because you don't deserve it, but all these other guys that you see out there, the guys running around...
Who says you should do that?
Eiv
is not an. You tell you.
But Eliphaz is doing it. He's saying, you see that other guy who won the lottery?
Eliphaz is going to a tzaddik.
He's going to feel safe. His kids are going to be
Eiv, we have to remember. Eiv is a tzaddik.
Right.
No one is coming to deny the fact that Eiv is a tzaddik. Yorei Elokim, Sonera, Tam. Eiv is a tzaddik. He's giving him Musar, don't behave like a Rasha.
Right.
But you're a tzaddik, Eiv.
Right, you're a tzaddik.
And now he makes an observation.
Just as bad as you are.
And he makes an observation of what it's like for the real Rishoim. The real Rishoim out there, don't be impressed.
They're going to end up like you.
Right.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
They're going to end up like you.
Exactly.
You're a tzaddik, you ended up like this. But don't worry about the Rishon, they'll end up the same way, they'll be in the Zeifa HaKetzara.
It's not the same, they'll end up...
I don't understand that, that's what I'm asking.
He's not talking to Eiv directly, he's saying there's a different worldview that you have to adopt. Your worldview is, I'm jealous of everybody.
No, he's not jealous.
He is jealous of everyone.
He is jealous.
He is jealous.
So Eliphaz is telling him, look, you know, the real way to view this thing is, you know, you don't have to be jealous because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get back at them in the next generation. Not that they're going to be like you or anything. Kodesh Baruch will take care of them in the next generation.
And he will, so what will he do to them?
Or even the same.
Whatever he'll do to them, we'll do to them.
But what will he do to them? He can't do to them more than he did to Eeyub.
So what?
Eeyub got the low, he's at the low of the low, right?
He's not talking about what he did to Eeyub. He's just saying that your idea of being jealous of them is wrong. It's wrong.
Because everyone, the whole world is
wrong. Period. It's wrong. Period.
Okay, let's finish up this message and we'll stop.
I mean, it makes sense if he says the whole, that whatever you see someone is a good position, it's a temporary aberration.
Okay, let's read the word Rishoaf Tzamim Kol Echad Ben Hatzimeim Asher Ha'evil Ha'evil Hazeh Hitzmiyoy Bekach Asmenu Asho Hine Besoif Tigbar Yodoy V'chol Echad Yachzor V'yivlo Es Oysher Atzmo Masha Gozal Zev V'chol Echad Yikach Ashtol. Ultimately the wheels will turn and the people who have been excluded will take back what is rightfully theirs. Okay, Rashi has a different interpretation of the word mitzinim. He learns it as a weapon, which maybe we'll leave that. We'll go over Rashi's interpretation of the pasuk, a shield, a shemogain, a shield. Now, in ancient times, though, they used, there's a very fine line between a shield and a weapon. A weapon is used to go on the offensive, right? A chanis, a spear. A cherev and a chanis, but in ancient times, shields were also used as weapons. We have to know that seemingly how Rashi here is going to learn. You have to see some of these documentaries in ancient times how they would fight. The way you fight is the shields interlock, and you march, and you use your shields as a weapon. Just as you would use your sword or spear, you use a shield. So we are accustomed in the Nusach HaTzvila, Baruch Atah Hashem Mogein Avraham, Hashem is a shield. But that's like a defensive measure. But a shield, again, is a weapon. So that's really how Rashi learns, and we'll do that B'Hashem tomorrow. We'll stop here.